Church, 1444 Southwest Boulevard, and on June 11th at 3 p.m. at the Lutheran Church of the Resurrection, 9100 Mission Road in Prairie Village. For more information on these and many other events in our area, go to kkfi.org/artskcgo.
This is Paul Cannon, a volunteer, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your pa and ma have parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. We cover the arts and we are covering the arts today from a little different angle, perhaps. And we'll get into that as the show unfolds itself during the upcoming hour of the show. I think you'll find it fascinating as well. I was talking with a friend on the phone over the weekend, and I was telling her, well, my guest is going to be a lady who is putting on a digital art show. She said, how would that work? Mary McCauley is with us. She is the founder and the creator of Digital Dreams, KC, and she is curating what might be the first digital art gallery. Is that just here in Kansas City or other places
to begin,
as well, Mary?
Yes, we're going to start right here in the heartland in Kansas City.
Digital,
we'll see where it goes.
Digital goes with lots of things these days. Sports.
Yes.
Some sports events are only available now digitally. Fans don't necessarily like it because they can't get it. That's one of the reasons why. But you have an event coming up.
Yes.
On June the 10th, and we're going to let you talk about that. It's at the Upside B?
Upside Bungee.
Bungee, okay.
Yes, 1101 Mulberry in the West Bottoms, right behind the Edge of Hell Haunted House.
Ah, everybody knows where that is.
Yes. Beautiful historic area of Kansas City.
It is very historic area. Mm-hmm. And for probably several different reasons, you're going to have your show to introduce this digital gallery.
Yes.
To the area. So let's get that initial information
sure.
out there. So, and we'll repeat it several times during the course of the show, where you can go and see this digital art. But I'm also going to get into digital art itself. Is this the new thing? But but we'll get into that, of course. But it's going to be at the Upside Bungee, 1101 Mulberry, in the West Bottoms, what I call the West Bottoms. And the person I talked to on the phone says, no, what do you mean by West Bottoms?
Ah.
So as time goes by, those terms kind of get out of favor, I suppose.
I see. I'm not hip to the hoppa, so I did not know. This is good to know. Good to know information. Because I think the West Bottoms is a very overlooked area of Kansas City that has very neat architecture and rich history, and there's kind of some untapped resources down there. So I was very excited to get to have the event hosted in this area with these beautiful buildings. Upside Bungee has 14 tall foot ceilings, just magnificent.
Does that lend itself to what you want to
do? Oh, most definitely. So as one of the artists that will be presenting at the event June 10th is Paper Buddha, and he does 3D collage art and uses a projector to display the images. And so having such tall wall space is really a benefit for him and for everyone that will be viewing his art, as he's done installations previously, you know, up to 2 feet or 2 feet two stories tall.
Wow.
So to have the 14 foot tall ceilings is a huge benefit for us to be able, because bigger is better, right? So the more bigger, the better you can see it, especially for us older folks.
Well, you know, as far as things like that are concerned, bigger is better, but it's not always
right. Not
better.
Always.
No,
yes,
it depends on the project and
yes,
what the artist has in mind. See, I've had artists in here tell me about, I'll ask them about what motivated them for a certain piece of art, and there's usually a story there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the same thing for you today. Tell me your story. You are a curator. You were identified as a curator. Anyway.
I identify as a curator.
what else? A promoter.
A promoter,
certainly.
An artist, a woman, a lover of the arts, and of sharing things with people that need to be shared. You had mentioned or touched on the idea of an activist, if you will. Maybe, is there such thing as an art activist?
I suppose you are.
I like that term, most definitely so, all that it implies. I took a liking to digital art in shortly after COVID, I would say, as we were all trapped inside and couldn't go out to art galleries and couldn't go out to First Fridays and couldn't go out to the regular events that we would do so to engage with arts and look at art. And I started to really see a lot of amazing things happening in the digital art world and the artists that were creating them and what they were doing with them and how they were presenting them and the experiences they were trying to transmit to the viewer through their art in this digital way, as we were all so disconnected. And it was really intriguing to me, and I started to really research it, as I love research. I am one to kind of delve into researching something before I fully embrace it, and that I did with digital art and NFTs and the blockchain and all of that, and it really intrigued me. And I approached a friend in January of 2022 in regards to the idea of using an empty building space that he maintained for a digital art gallery, and doing this and bringing it to Kansas City. And the consensus there was at least interested, but not quite ready. It wasn't, I'd feel, the right time to bring this to Kansas City, as I started speaking to people back in January of 22, and there was interest, but not follow through, and it really just wasn't ready. So I continued to just keep this idea in the back of my mind, thinking that it was something that would bring great energy and great creativity and inspiration to other artists in the area, as it did myself. And then I had the opportunity in March of 2023 to go out to Denver for a digital art, not necessarily primarily digital art, but a conference in Denver called East Denver that has all sorts of things supporting Web3 and digital art and online gaming. And it was an eye-opener for me to see their pop-up digital art gallery that they had in place, and to walk through and to look at what art that you might be typically used to seeing just on your phone or on your computer screen in a very large, detailed, high-def experience right there in front of your face. It really transferred the art in a different way than you're used to experiencing it when you're just browsing online. And it was very, very jolting for me. It really gave me a lot of energy and motivation. And then when I spoke with other people that were at Denver that had digital art galleries in place, I was just fascinated. And I just started asking them, you know, what is it that you're doing? How is it that you're doing it? What are the hurdles that you're facing? What are the benefits, and so forth and so on. And everyone that I spoke to in Denver, whether they were from Colorado or from out of state as myself, they were shocked when I said that Kansas City didn't have anything like this. And they asked me several times, you know, are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm from there. I'm pretty sure. I haven't seen anything like this, but I'll go back and double check and do my research. And upon doing so, you know, I've reached out to Arts KC, I reached out to Charlotte Street, I reached out to multiple galleries and artists, and no one had begun the process of doing what we're doing with Digital Dreams KC yet, but everyone agreed that it was something that was needed, necessary, should probably be here, and would be really neat to see. It just hadn't happened yet. And so then I realized that, okay, now is the time. This idea that I had on the shelf from last year, it seems like now is the time to present this. And then as I spoke with the network of artists that I connected with in Denver about this opportunity, I was really amazed to see the amount of very large scale artists that are used to going to Art Basel and doing very big presentations in LA and New York were excited about the idea of coming to a smaller city like Kansas City. Most of them have never been to Kansas City. Most of them are tired of the oversaturated art markets that you find in those bigger cities. And to have a more intimate experience with art enthusiasts is something that they were all ready for and are very strongly looking forward to coming to the city in June to see the city in its of itself and meet the people and discuss their art. That's one of the things that I feel is a benefit to the digital art shows, is that it's digital art in real life. So you have the artist there, you have their art there, you can interact with them, you can interact with the art, and it's not a typical physical traditional art gallery in the sense of just walking past the pieces and reading a plaque. You can actually talk to the artist there in person about their art and how they did it and what their process was and all of that.
Yeah, I guess the difference would be, and I was asked this question, I had no answer. So thank goodness you're here.
Yes, I will answer it.
You can browse at an art gallery. Mm-hmm. You can see what's there. Oftentimes, some of the work is for sale. Mm-hmm. They also serve wine there. They have entertainment. There's a lot of levels to this, and yours includes that.
Yes.
But as you look at the art, say there's something you think would work in your rec room or whatever, how do they make a bid and buy, I guess they're buying a copy of this digital artwork? How would that work?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. And it's something that is fairly new, but is very, very simple. And that is that all of the art that will be on display at the Digital Dreams KC show in June will have a QR code that you can simply scan right there in person and make the transaction, you know, as you would with anything else that we do nowadays, and purchase the art right there and then. The artists are also going to have physical copies available of their art, so that you can purchase not only a digital piece, but a physical copy of their art as well, and be able to have that. I think that's important for people that are new to digital art to be able to appreciate the art and be able to have it in both formats, to be able to enjoy it in the way they traditionally are used to, and then also integrate them into the new ways of enjoying digital art. There's lots of ways that you can integrate your digital art in your home, in your space, in whatever ways that you may see fit. A lot of this is very cutting edge technology that I'll admittedly say that digital canvases, for example, that are coming out are very high priced, as all tech is when it first is released. But I definitely expect it to drop in price, as all tech does, after it's released. LG, they are coming out, as well as Samsung, many large brands are coming out with digital canvases. And what I mean by digital canvas is a 24 by 36, an 18 by 24, whatever size you prefer, with a frame that you could even do, you know, classic black, you could do an antique motif, anything that fits your style. And then within it, instead of it being a traditional canvas, it is a digital high definition screen that provides you with that image just at the level of quality and clarity that it deserves, that you can then hang in your home. And it creates a whole different vibe, I guess you would say, a whole different way of experiencing that picture. It's so much brighter, it's so much more defined, and it's very modern, I would say, and it is very cool looking when you see it. And a lot of people may have, you know, like the Alexa on their counter in their kitchen, and it shuffles through their family photos. So it's kind of taking that idea but expanding it to something that you could then have on your wall, and have that picture in high definition clarity on your wall. And a lot of artists are moving to animated moving pictures, which makes it very enticing for me personally, the idea of having a digital canvas on my wall that has a moving picture. It's very cool. Something that you might normally only see on your phone could soon, actually now if you wanted to, but I'm waiting for the prices to drop.
Aren't we all?
Right, yes. There on your wall. And you can also, you know, purchase the digital art and you could decide, you know, I just want to use this as my screensaver, or I just want to have this on my computer, or I just want to print this off and have a poster on my wall. But the image is automatically transferred to you and you have it, and then you can use it and utilize it in your art decor in the way that you feel comfortable doing with.
Sure. We're speaking with Mary McCauley, founder and creator of Digital Dreams KC. We're talking about a digital art presentation she's having on June the 10th. That's a Saturday at the Upside Bungee. That's in the West Bottoms. And some people will say it's amazing how opinions change over there. The West Bottoms. Now, what part of town are we talking about?
it's always the east side, right?
It's always been the east. It's always been the West Bottoms for me. But that is the area near where the Kemper Arena was?
Yes. Where the old Kemper Arena and American Royal and all of that, down there with the traditional 12th Street Bridge, which to me is just an amazing piece of architecture and engineering and history in Kansas City. I'm a huge lover of that sort of thing. So every time I go down there, I'm just looking at everything, just loving it. It's so beautiful.
Now, is that the bridge where I've been seeing stories on the news about it? I think they were talking about the financing of it. People are going to be able to walk over. Is it the Kansas River?
Oh, that's a different bridge.
That's
the rail bridge. Yes, and they're creating that kind of scared me. I'll be honest, a little bit, because the bridge is over the river, and then they're creating the platform for the dining and the atmosphere there over the river. And I just, I'm a big willy-nilly, I guess. I'm like, oh my gosh, woo, I'm gonna be over the river just standing there. It's scary. What if it falls? What if? But it does look very, very cool. It's a very neat idea. I'm excited to see that transpire.
Well, it's interesting that that's becoming that. The trend, I guess, is, and you were talking about Colorado earlier, frankly, the ideas for a so-called downtown ballpark that are being batted around now.
Heard about that.
They're actually copying what they actually did in Denver. That's an
entertainment. Oh, with the Broncos stadium?
Well, I was thinking of baseball, but
oh, okay.
It may be the football as well. But as I understand it, there was a new ballpark. They were calling it a boutique ballpark, and they wanted to build an entertainment district around it. And that's what I think the Royals are looking to do. Where will be a big question. Is it going to go north of the river? Is it going to be in the north part of downtown? All of that. But it's an entertainment built around. Do you think that's the idea of what's happening in the West Bottoms?
I definitely think you have your finger on the pulse. I did receive some inside information that some developers from Los Angeles have come into the West Bottoms here recently and bought large swaths of land and large amounts of buildings. And they are turning it into an entertainment district, as well as lofts and apartment space and business space. And their goal is to evidently maintain the history and the architecture of these amazing buildings that are down there, but also rejuvenate it, revitalize it, modernize it, and create an entertainment district down there by, I believe it was 2026 is what I was told. So in just 3 to 4 years, that area of Kansas City is not going to look like it does currently. It's going to be a huge change.
And isn't that interesting how that is changing like that? The Crossroads changed before that.
Yes.
I remember when the Crossroads was an area where artists could live, and I knew a few of them, on the cheap. And I'm not I don't mean that as a put down.
All artists need to live on the cheap. We're artists.
Oh, they had affordable places down there. But then it became a well-known area. Talking about the Crossroads now, folks. It became a well-known area. The property values went up. Mm-hmm. The rents went up then. And they had to find other areas. And it's been an interesting story to see where they all migrated to. A lot of them migrated then to the West Bottoms. And I guess the old-fashioned term, depending on how old you are as a listener, was the Stockyards area, which it was.
Yes.
That was the Stockyards area of Kansas City. And yes, it flooded several times.
Yes.
And there's very interesting pictures that you can see. I don't know if it's still there, but the famous restaurant there, not too far from Kemper Arena, the restaurant that
the
was there.
The steakhouse.
Yes.
Herford? Was it Herford House?
No, it wasn't the Herford House. That's a different ownership group. But at any rate, they had pictures in the men's room of that flood. Why they put them in the men's room, I don't know, because I remember standing there in the bar, getting ready to pay the tab and leave. I was with a group there, and some ladies came in. They wanted to see those pictures. They were in the men's room, so they had to be guided into the men's room, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yes.
So it shouldn't have been in there. But the way it was an entirely different time mm-hmm. in history down there. And it certainly looks like that's going to change down there again.
Most definitely so. I think there's definitely big change coming to that area, which I just hope, as change is inevitable in life, that the changes that occur maintain the history and the amazing architecture and the landmarks that stand there today, because that is what makes the West Bottoms the historic West Bottoms mm-hmm. is that cowtown history that Kansas City has with the Stockyards and with the riverboats and all of that. Like it is something that is part of our roots, if you would, for Kansas City. And regardless of the change, to modernize it and progress it into a more active entertainment district and living area needs to be maintained. You know,
it's a question and and I'm advancing too far with this, I know. But do you, your event is going to be in the West Bottoms / Stockyard / lots of things down there. Yeah. Whatever you remember it being called, that's what we're talking
about. That's where it's at.
Down
yes.
there. Yeah. Are you thinking in terms of if this event works out well down there, you might open a place down there in that area?
You know, I really favor that area. It's beautiful as far as the architecture and the buildings and the spaces that are available. Our plan initially is to be a digital art pop-up. So then and there we would have a different location in a different space for each event, creating a different vibe, different artist lineup, different experience in all, rather than maintaining a traditional brick and mortar space that's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. I am trying to connect with artists within the Kansas City region as well as beyond this to integrate and be involved with this. And so far, it's been very successful that we haven't even had our first event yet, and that is very promising. We look forward to doing this on the second Saturdays of every month. So in the same pattern that we have first Fridays that we've all become accustomed to for art outlets, second Saturdays of the month, doing these digital art shows and bringing this to the Kansas City area every second Saturday in a different location with different artists and a different theme. This particular theme here for June 10th's event, Technic Bloom, we're going to have a very impressive lineup of artists. We'll have Kansas City's very own Thieves of Flight performing, which I am just so excited.
don't you love that name? Thieves of Flight, as if they can steal the concept of flight.
Yes, in midair.
Yes, right.
Yes, they're just absolutely breathtaking to watch, and I like the idea of the performance art and the fluidity of their motions in amidst the mingling of the people exploring the art and interacting with the art. It just adds another bit of excitement and energy movement that I think this event will bring. And they, along with Paper Buddha, who is not from Kansas City, he's an outside artist. He's the collage artist I was speaking of. And as his art entails, or his name entails, you might assume that the art is Buddhist related, and it is. It is actually a kind of pop culture, like vintage pop culture mixed with traditional Buddhist art. And it is very fun. It is very neat. It definitely caught my eye the first time that I saw it. And that artist, Paper Buddha, is the first artist that I heard of and learned from about what a blue chip artist was. I had never known that term, and I felt a bit silly when he told me that he was a blue chip artist. But it's actually a term that's derived from the stock market.
A blue yes. chip stock. Yeah. That, yes. That's a very well thought of stock. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And I had never heard of a blue chip artist.
I had neither.
What is yeah. that? And then I actually Googled it, you know, looked it up. I'm like, what is he talking about? But it just signifies the level of sales that they've had where they stand in the art world. And he is a blue chip artist that I am so excited for people to get to meet in real life and see his art and understand his art. And I will also have another Kansas City native coming in to curate the music for the event. He now lives in Chicago. He is a third wave house DJ in Chicago. His name is Change Request, or Andrew Emile. And he is originally a Kansas City native. And like I said, he's moved to Chicago, and he's very loved and adored in the Chicago house music scene. But he will be making an appearance back here in Kansas City for the show to not only visit the city and see old friends, but to make new friends. And he'll be presenting his black and white photography that he's recently started to get into while living in Chicago. So not only will he be on the DJ turntables and doing all of the music, but he will also have his black and white photography prints, huge canvases on display and available for purchase. And they are all still life and pictures of Chicago and the areas around there. And they're just really beautiful photography. And then we have Laser Lou, which was super exciting to have him here. He's a laser artist, as his name might imply. And he does some really phenomenal stuff with lasers that he makes projected off of glass and mirrors and creates a very stunning visual. So it's not large-scale lasers like you might see at a concert, but more smaller scale that are very intricate. It's something you have to almost see to believe and understand, but it's impressive.
Sure. We've reached our half-hour break, and we'll take that. But when we return, we're going to have more from Mary McCauley, founder and creator of Digital Dreams KC. And she's talking about the initial of several to follow art shows, I guess we could call it. She can correct me later when we come back.
Yes, art show.
If that's not right. And we'll talk more about how all of this is going down, how it is all coming together, and how you, as a audience member, can see it if you so choose. All that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare in theaters and streaming. If you're a fan of the Fast and Furious franchise, you already know that you need to check your brain at the theater door. So let's just say that Fast 10 is yet another James Bond wannabe that's predictably silly, with an over-the-top performance by Jason Momoa as the new bad guy. It's mildly entertaining, but after 2 hours and 21 minutes of CGI-generated wheel spinning, Fast 10 leaves the audience with a ridiculous cliffhanger that might make even diehard Fast and Furious fans furious. The arthouse musical drama Carmen was written and directed by famed dancer and choreographer Benjamin Millipede, loosely inspired by Bizet's classic opera. Melissa Barrera plays a Mexican immigrant aided by American Paul Mescal, who kills to protect her. They sing and dance their way to Los Angeles as they evade the law. The original musical numbers are engaging, but Carmen is an opaque cinematic experiment that never hits a dramatic stride. The low-key drama Rare Objects was written and directed by Katie Holmes, adapted from the novel by Kathleen Tesoro. In this revised version, a young woman struggling with tragedy and fresh out of rehab tries to rebuild her life by taking a job at an antiques gallery. It's well-meaning and embraces its flawed characters, but the rambling structure of Rare Objects prevents it from achieving much of an emotional impact. Cinque Walls and rapper Jack Harlow star in the Hulu update of the classic basketball movie White Men Can't Jump. This substantially revised reboot is irreverent and good-humored, benefiting from some clever dialogue and the charisma of its stars. It won't make you forget the original, but the new version of White Men Can't Jump is a cheerfully cheeky sports comedy. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI FM. Freeze Frame!
Tune in every Monday from 3 to 6 p.m. for Mother's Mix, where your host, Lady D, will bring a great mix of music to your afternoon. That's Mother's Mix every Monday from 3 to 6 p.m. right here on KKFI.
I've got my mojo working. KKFI is hiring. We are now accepting applications for a bookkeeper, office administrator position at KKFI's offices at 39th and Main in Midtown Kansas City. This is a full-time, 32 hours per week position that is responsible for supporting the administrative and financial needs of our growing organization. For more details, including required skills and how to apply, please go online to kkfi.org/jobs.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogueros. We're talking about digital art today, kind of maybe a different slant, you know, on things. We're used to going down to, well, say, you mentioned First Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So your usual one is going to be?
Second Saturday.
The second Saturday. Okay.
Yes. And this event will be from 7 to 11 p.m. And so I hope that gives everyone a gracious amount of time to accommodate this into their evening plans. Not too early, but not too late. A great way to stop in and enjoy your evening and meet some new folks and see some new things and hopefully want to return and enjoy our follow-up event in July. And at this event in June, as I was saying, we'll have Laser Lou doing his lasers amidst all of the other art that'll be taking place. And we're also going to have V-Lane as well as Lazul. And both of those artists are also from out of state, not within Kansas City. V-Lane resides in Colorado. Lazul resides in Florida. And so it's really exciting to me to see these other artists that, you know, don't have any ties to Kansas City, but are wanting to come to Kansas City and present their art and meet the people and see the area. And I never thought that Kansas City would be a tourist attraction.
Oh, don't let the Chamber of Commerce hear that.
But word on the street is it just might be.
Yeah, well, things change.
Yes.
The image of the city has really changed in the last 15, 20 years, I think.
Tremendously, right?
Tremendously, yeah. It really has a lot of new things to offer.
Yes.
Which is good because it had to grow. For years, they're not going to like me saying this, downtown was dead.
Yes.
There was nothing going on.
Correct.
Down there. But with the addition of a few things down there.
Yes, it's really revitalized.
It really changed quite a bit.
Yes.
Next project, I guess, the West Bottoms.
Yes.
Slash the Stockyard, slash lots of other things that it was down there. It was known for a while as the only place you could go to a haunted house down there.
True.
And those, I guess, are still down there.
They are. Mm. I was amazed, honestly, because I'm not a, you know, avid attender of the haunted houses. I most definitely did as a teenager, but I was surprised. Yeah, they're all still down there, just full swing.
A little bit of the edge of hell can go a long way.
Yes.
But I guess it depends on your age. If you're young and you're into that sort of thing,
right.
Oh, it's just got to be a sacred ground down there.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, because they do it and they do it right down there.
And that's where your event is going to be, as she spoke of, June the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Saturday from 7 to 11 p.m. You can see what might be Kansas City's first digital art gallery down there. And Mary McCauley is with us telling us all about it. She was talking about some of the entertainers that will be involved. Do you have any more you want to add to that?
Yeah, so like I was saying, in addition to the ones that I mentioned, and which, by the way, side note, you can link all of these artists' bios and websites from the Digital Dreams KC website. There we have them all listed under Second Saturdays. And if you want to delve into their information or branch off, you know, to see their websites more in depth and learn more about the artists prior to the show. V-Lane is, like I said, from Colorado. And she has some really neat art that will be on display that is, she calls it abstract confluence. It's realism meets Picasso, a fusion of the tangible and abstract. That is very much a dance of like reality and the imagination, exploring human expression through the lens of Picasso's cubism. And her art is very intuitive. I really appreciate her art, and I think a lot of the residents of Kansas City will resonate with her art. In addition to Lazul, who is from Florida and coming up, his art is very impressive. The way he does his art is something I'd never seen before. And am really transfixed by. He does VR painting, which I did not know was a thing, but it's a thing.
Visual reality?
Yes.
Okay.
They have software now where you can paint in virtual reality and then take your painting over to Photoshop and finish your painting. And he's never picked up an actual brush to paint these photos. But when I saw these pictures, I thought they were oil paintings. And he sent me pictures of what the canvases are he's bringing up, because he too will have digital pieces as well as physical pieces. And I thought they were oil paintings. Come to find out, they were painted in virtual reality. And that was something new to me. I was impressed. I was curious. I was confused. I was interested. And it's very cool that something like that can be done in an augmented reality setting and then transferred over into a physical art setting. And he will be presenting that. He also does some fashion design, if you will. He also has been working on designing different shoe wear, which I thought was very ambitious and admirable, as that's an area that I would feel very scared to dabble in as an artist. And he's actually the youngest artist on this lineup of artists that we have for June. He's 28 years old, and I think he has a very inspiring, bright future ahead of him. He's very creative and innovative, as well as all the other artists that we'll have presenting. And Upside Bungee will be offering a cash bar inside for those that might want to pick up a cocktail or a glass of wine while they're meandering around and enjoying the art. And we'll also have a barista truck outside with some fancy smancy coffee to keep everybody fueled up. So it's going to be a whole thing. And I'm hoping that as we go forward, that other art galleries that I've spoken with that have expressed interest and curiosity and the like will want to, just in the same fashion really that First Fridays started to roll into what it is that we see today, will want to participate and jump on board, and that this isn't just a Digital Dreams KC event, that this is something that other galleries are seen and interested in, other artists are seen and interested in, and saying, hey, you know, that's cool, let's try that out. And that we're only the new kids on the block for a while, and that it becomes a thing.
How does that affect the talent of the artist? You know how that works.
Oh, yes.
Anyone who's ever had their portrait drawn or anything like that knows how that works.
I think that artists are always nervous about competition because all artists want to make sales. But I think that as artists, one thing that we can all agree on is that we all admire each other's art usually more than we admire our own art. We can pick our own art apart, you know, and tell you everything that's wrong with it and at the same time want you to buy it and be able to flawlessly almost admire another artist's work. And I think that that then in there creates the atmosphere of collaboration and community instead of competition and animosity. I think if we can support each other in the arts and tell someone about another great artist that we know that we recommend or that they might resonate with or it might speak to them or they might appreciate, that it is doing not only the arts a favor, but the community a favor, because art is the one thing that can bring everyone together, just like music, I feel. So I feel that this is something that regardless of whether you are a high-end art collector and, you know, you go to Sotheby's and you purchase art, or you go to Art Basel every year and you purchase art, or whether you are just a flea market collector, you're going to appreciate it and you're going to enjoy it and you're going to feel like you belong with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating the different types of art that can happen. And now we have this, which is new.
Yes.
Some people may say, and I don't know enough to say, but I will try and kind of copy what they might be saying.
Sure.
Is that really art?
Yes.
And so how would you answer that? Or how would the artists answer that?
Art is in the eye of the beholder. you can always look at art, for example, like I said, Sotheby's, and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that that sold for that amount of money. Well, to that person, it obviously meant that much, you know? It really is in the eye of the beholder. I don't believe that art has to be made with one particular tool in order for it to qualify as art. Philosophically, we could pick apart what is art all day, but digital art as a whole, as you say that phrase, that is something that an artist sat down and worked on with intent to create their finished product to be presented, to share with others the transmission of their energy through that piece in sometimes a painstakingly way. And I understand that, you know, some art that is physical art cannot be reproduced in a digital format, and some art in a digital way cannot be reproduced in a physical format. And those differences should be appreciated and celebrated rather than looked at as like, well, because you're not this, then you're not that. I think that art can be many, many different things and that it can be enjoyed in many, many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's many different, what am I trying to say here? What you would put on the side of a building? There's a there's an animal hospital on Rainbow Boulevard, and there's animals.
Yeah,
and I know the artist that did it, that drew it, because she appeared on the show at the time.
Oh, well, that'll be.
And she was very protective of that. She didn't want anyone changing it over the years. It's been more than a few years now, and there have been changes to it. And if she lived here, she she probably wouldn't be happy about it. But
right.
Murals like that, and there's famous murals. There's one at the Truman Library, which is well known. It's been there for years. It's very interesting. How will that work with things like this? Will they not be able to do murals per se, or will they be more of a electronic billboard type mural?
I think it's all in the audience that it's being shown to as to how it will be transmuted in the future. I know that there's a time and a place for the digital billboards, and there's a time and a place for the traditional billboards. You know, when you look at your medium, what ability and space that you're working with, none of these digital artists started off as digital artists. You know, digital art is fairly new. Mm-hmm. So all of these artists are traditional artists in the sense that have just looked at digital art as a new tool in their toolbox. And that is the way I look at it personally. I've never been able to classify myself to a particular medium, and that always kind of bothered me because I felt like I was required to, you know, that I was supposed to fit myself into a box and say, well, this is the type of artist that I am. But my God, what a terrible task to do to an artist, to tell them to try to box themselves into one particular thing. I think that's what's beautiful about the arts, is that it can be so many different things. And the fact that digital art can be just another tool that you use makes it just able to be marketed to a broader audience and create a new customer base and create new areas for inspiration and expansion in an artist's.
Sure. We're speaking, by the way, with Mary McCauley, founder and creator of Digital Dreams KC. And of course, the website would be digitaldreamskc.com, talking about her art gallery presentation, which will be happening on June the 10th, a Saturday from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Upside Bungee. Is it a gallery or is it just a restaurant bar type place?
Oh, the Upside Bungee building? Yes. So it is an open space warehouse with 14-foot tall ceilings and beautiful pillars and architecture. And it's completely open. So it really created the perfect space and canvas for me when I saw it to have the art show, as is it is just perfect in my eyes.
Sure. Best way for them to find it, if they go through downtown or take the freeway that way, what's sure. the best way for them to get there?
I would go to your Google Maps and type in 1101 Mulberry. It is very easy to find, actually, right off the 12th Street Bridge, right as soon as you get into the Bottoms. There's not a whole waiting around that you have to do to find the location. It's practically right as soon as you enter in off of the 12th Street Bridge. But depending on what direction that you're coming into, you're not going to be in any kind of sketchy area. There's plenty of parking, well lit, and there'll definitely be plenty of people, as well as neighboring businesses that I've spoken with and talked to about collaboration with the event going on this Saturday. The Ship, if you're familiar with that business, they are right down the street, and they are a local bar and music scene, live music. I'm not sure who will be performing on the night of the 10th at their venue, but they, along with many other businesses down there, were very excited to cross-promote and share this information with their attendees to let them know that this is happening, this is real, and it's right down the street.
Sure. Well, you said later you don't like to be boxed in. So here I go. What's your favorite kind of art to do?
Ooh. I really, really enjoy collage art.
Okay.
And I really enjoy painting. I really don't enjoy sketching. I really admire people that can sketch and draw, but I personally have never had a good hand at it, I don't feel. I also enjoy writing tremendously. But yes, I would say collage art and painting would be probably my two primary mediums, and digital art, yes.
Yes. And is some of your works going to be turned into digital art?
I will have some of mine there as well. I tend to mention myself last. I don't really remember at first that, yes, I will have art there too, but I will. I just find it easier to speak on other people's art more so than myself, as I think all artists probably do, but maybe not. Maybe some artists find it very easy for them to discuss themselves. But yes, I will have, I believe I've been trying to decide, honestly, which pieces to share. And I think I have a few in mind. I know I have a few in mind. I just need to make a decision, which is hard for someone that's indecisive like myself.
Oh, well, it doesn't sound like it from listening to you. You've been able to put all this together. It couldn't have been an easy task.
It was a lot of work, but I believe that, like I said, the time is right. When I reached out to different people and artists and businesses, no one was like, no. Everyone was like, oh, yes, and very welcoming and collaborative with me on it. So that made it very easy for it to go into place. I feel like if you have to force something to happen and to work and you're going against the grain, that's probably a sign that it's not really gonna work the way you want it to. But when everything flows and everything goes into place, it's very promising energy to receive that and see that, okay, yes, this is working, and I don't have to fight it and force
Sure. Well, marketing being the hardest part, in my opinion, of making something work.
Yes.
The marketing really
is. If you approach people and they're not interested, it's very hard to continue to try and promote, sell, discuss the idea if people are closed off to it.
Sure. Yeah. But I assume, and I'm probably right, marketing is the hardest part for the individual artist. And yes. Here you come around with a brand new idea that they can kind of lend themselves to.
Yeah.
A platform is a good word. Yeah.
To present their art in a way that is new and very ambitious, to be able to have the art available there for sale in digital and physical forms and be able to meet the artist, engage with the artist. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds very interesting. I wish you the best of success here.
Thank you.
Something new like that can't be an easy task to go into. It's happening once again on June the 10th. It's a Saturday, 7 to 11 p.m. And you'll be able to go down to 1101 Mulberry to the Upside Bungee Business. And you're going to, that's where it's going to be.
Yeah, good times.
So, anything I've missed that you want to fill in the gaps for in the minute we have left?
I just really hope that everybody that is curious about this takes their time to grab a friend and come down and check it out, because I definitely think that if you don't make it to the June event, a lot of people will say, man, I really wish I would have gone and checked that out.
But they'll get to do it again.
Yes.
Each third Saturday?
Second Saturday.
Okay.
Second Saturdays. Different artists.
Yeah, the people in Inglewood kind of captured the third Friday. And isn't that interesting? They're jumping on the bandwagon now. They have a different, they all have a different weekend that they specialize in.
Well, that's good. We can have a different experience in Kansas City every weekend. How fancy is that?
Great. Mary McCauley, Digital Dreams KC. The event is June 10th. 7 to 11 p.m. at the Upside Bungee. It's 1101 Mulberry. And as Mary suggested, go to Google Maps and look that up, and you'll know how to get there. There's going to be entertainment, all kinds of things. And, of course, you can email her at what could be simpler? Mary at Digital Dreams KC. Don't forget the KC. DigitalDreamsKC.com and learn all about it. Also her her webpage is very informative as well. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for opening us up to all of this. What's going on?
And
what's happening?
Yes.
Things change over the years. It's changing again, and will always change.
Yes.
Much as some people resist it, it's. There's
inevitable.
Always going to be change. Yeah. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Jazz Canadian is coming up next. He will have some fine jazz music for you today. And a guest. He always has a guest. He usually has a guest. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. And in true KKFI tradition, the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.
Yay.
Thank you.